Like we like to say, you know, we spell love T-I-M-E. So, you know, we're going to spend as much time with those kids as we can and be around them because we want them to know how much we care about them. And we want them to know that we want what's best for them, not just in football, but in life.
In this episode of the Champion Series, we sit down with Coach Andy Learman from Liberty North High School, the Class 6A champions in Missouri. Coach Learman shares his insights on the importance of connecting with players, his transition to a three safety defense, and the journey to the first state championship. Join us as we discuss the strategies, challenges, and lessons learned from Coach Learman's successful coaching career. We'll share our winning edge takeaways following the interview. What you see on tape is a direct reflection of what you teach and how you teach. Video is important, but if you don't teach well, you're not going to like what you see on your video. First Down Playbook has been helping coaches teach better for 13 years. It allows you to present installs, playbooks, and practice cards in half the time with NFL quality. Coaching tools like video pairing, a player app, practice schedules, and wristband sheets have made First Down Playbook a program management system with everything in one place. If you're in a position of leadership with your football program, receive a free one-week look at First Down Playbook. Call them at 512-814-6158 or visit them on their website or social media. Mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code COACH24 to receive a $100 discount off the normal $700 First Down Playbook team membership price. Links and the phone number are in the show notes. On today's Champion Series episode, we talk with a Class 6A champion, the biggest division in Missouri, Liberty North High School, and head coach Andy Learman, about connecting with kids, his three safety defense, and something that he's learned along the way in staying patient and consistent. So, Coach Learman, great to have you here on the podcast. We're excited to talk about all these things on our Champion Series.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, it's great to visit with you guys. I've listened to your podcast a lot, so it's kind of fun to be sitting here with you.
So, Coach, big school, and you shared with me that there's 315 kids in the program, junior high through high school, 170, 10 through 12, huge amount of kids. And you said an important thing that you really focus on is connecting with kids. And now you have 30 coaches throughout your level to do that, but that's not an easy task. I remember at Baldwin Wallace, OAC recruiting at the time I was there, same thing. We had about 190 kids in the program, a freshman class coming in every year of 90, lot of guys to learn about, but it is so important for you. How do you guys do that? How do you connect with the kids so that you are building those relationships that will result in what happened this year in a state championship?
Yeah, I think one of the first things that we do a really good job of is just finding great coaches that are great teachers and guys that care about kids. And I think we've done a good job with our staff on that. You know, our guys really do a good job of trying to make sure we speak to every kid every single day. And I may not be able to touch base with that kid, but one of our assistants is able to see them in a different class. You know, we've got 8 assistants here in our high school. So that spreads throughout a credit recovery class, a social studies class, a math class. And so wherever those kids go in the school building, they're seeing a coach. And I think it's just so important for them to have that connection of not only knowing that your coach cares about you, but if there's something going on or you need something, that a kid's able to stop in a classroom because, you know, they feel more comfortable talking to that coach or they just happen to be right there that day. And so we try to do a really good job of speaking to a kid every single day, every time we see him. And then we do something in our program where we break our kids up into platoons. And again, because just like you said, we've got so many kids, we split our groups into what we call platoons. It's kind of a military concept. We've got a platoon leader that's a senior that's in charge of that group, but then we also have a platoon coach. And within that group, there's seniors through sophomores. And so that coach is in charge of that group to connect and make sure they know how they're doing. They're checking on their grades. They're seeing how they're doing in track or in basketball or whatever might be going on. And then we're just constantly talking about that. So we're going to staff meetings or we're getting ready for spring practices or whatever we're doing. You know, we can say, hey, how's little Johnny doing? And Coach Llewellyn's able to say, hey, Johnny's doing a great job. He's got this going on. Or, hey, things aren't going great for Johnny. He needs to get his grades up or he's got some trouble at home or whatever might be happening. And so I think just trying to find creative ways to visit and talk with those kids and make sure that you're connecting with them. Obviously, going to go support them in other sports if they're playing those kind of things. And again, just trying to find ways to connect with those kids. And that all kind of, like we like to say, you know, we spell love T-I-M-E. So, you know, we're going to spend as much time with those kids as we can and be around them because we want them to know how much we care about them. And we want them to know that we want what's best for them, not just in football, but in life.
For sure. Now, how do you go about creating those platoons? What does the mix of kids look like? Yeah. As far as, you know, age groups, positions, et cetera.
Yeah, it kind of varies from year to year. Sometimes we do a little draft. I know a lot of teams have probably done that before, where we have our platoon leaders draft them. Here, since it's gotten so big, I feel like our coaches have a little bit better grasp of our kids. And so our coaches kind of put those together for them the last couple of years because it's gotten so big. And, you know, we may have a senior or several seniors that maybe don't know some of the younger kids as well. And so trying to make sure that we have a good mix of kids within the group. Again, a couple varied ways. Like I said, we draft them and put them all up on the board and the kids go through and pick each kid. And I think that's kind of a neat way to do that because it allows our kids to see who gets picked last, who gets picked first, why that is, all those kind of things that coaches talk about as far as what kids are doing right or if they're coming to workouts, if their grades are good, all those kind of things. We do what like a lot of teams probably do. We get points for that kind of stuff within a platoon. And so, you know, those kind of things factor into that as well. But again, these last couple of years when our numbers have gotten big, I've sat down with our staff and really tried to go through that just to try to make sure that we get the right kids with the right guys. Some kids need more support and we're aware that this senior may do a better job of supporting that or this coach may have Johnny in class. And so just really trying to pinpoint where we can put kids to make sure we're connecting with them.
With this, I'm assuming everybody, doesn't matter if you're in an off-season sport or not, you're able to get everybody involved in some way.
Yeah, everybody's involved. And, you know, if you're in a spring sport, you know, we take attendance every day, you know, all of our equipment checkout stuff or not your jersey number, it's all based off of how many workouts you've had. So the kid who has the most workouts gets in the front of the line. The kid who has the least amount of workouts gets in the back. We take the kids that win the most points that win in the platoon competition. They get taken out to dinner at the Mexican restaurant here in town. And so we just try to create something fun for them at the end of the off season before we start summer workouts that they can go and do together. And so just trying to find fun ways to celebrate those guys and create a competitive environment for those guys. But yeah, they're going to get credit for being out for a spring sport, obviously, or a winter sport. We encourage those guys to be around at that. We do a team workout on a Wednesday in the winter, all together in our field house, where the guys are all working together, even if they're in another sport. And so just trying to find ways to, again, create a fun, competitive environment where guys are really being held accountable, but at the same time being rewarded for doing the right thing.
Finding that group of kids, that next group of kids, I do think takes some time and attention. I know locally I talked to a program here that has 4 kids in one grade, you know, and it's, I mean, there's a number of reasons why it's a smaller school, but a number of reasons why that's factored that way. You know, it is important to have those connections with the younger kids too. How do you guys work at that? What does that look like for you in your program?
Yeah. So, you know, our strength and conditioning program's set up really well. We feel like our 10 through 12 athletic strength training class during the school day, our varsity athletes are only allowed in that class. And then we have a freshman class where our football coaches and some of our other PE teachers and coaches teach in that room. And so we're able to kind of break that group off. They're here at the high school, the freshmen are. And so we're able to see them. We don't have to worry about if they're in a class or if they're getting weights before and after school. They're coming to class every single day too. And so that's a good way that the younger kids at the freshman level see that. Obviously, our eighth grade coaches during the season see those guys and they're at the middle schools. But then as soon as the season's over, we start an off-season weight program at our middle school where we have 2 feeder schools that come to our high school. Then we send over a couple coaches after school for kids who aren't in basketball or wrestling or whatever it might be in the winter. Same thing in the spring with track. And we have an off-season weight and strength and conditioning program there at the high school where we have a couple coaches that are over there 3-4 times a week, connecting with those kids, getting to know them and making sure that they're around. We do a spring parent meeting and then another fall parent meeting. So we get a couple times to connect with the parents to really kind of outline what things look like. And again, try to get the kids there, try to meet them, try to see what's going on. Just like every other program, you know, you're dealing with trying to figure out baseball schedules and basketball schedules and all the things that go on in the summer too. And so I always feel like it's important in the spring to get a hold of those kids early before school's out and try to talk to them. And then we'll do the same thing. We'll do a follow-up meeting for any kid who couldn't come to this parent meeting. We'll head over to the middle schools and visit with those guys before school when they're in the school building so that we can really make sure we're making contact with any kid we can, the best that we can.
The group of guys who help you with this, the 30 or so coaches, That's a huge group. So managing that big of a group at the high school level, how do you go about that and making sure that you as the head coach are staying connected with those guys and everybody's staying on the same page throughout the year?
Yeah, I think especially at the lower levels, it's really making sure that you have a good head coach that's able to communicate with those guys on their staffs really well. We've been fortunate here. We'd have some really good lower level freshman and eighth grade coaches that do a really, really good job of communicating with their staffs and making sure that we're all on the same page. Again, I do the same kind of thing. I try to have an eighth grade staff meeting and a ninth grade staff meeting late in the spring. I'll have those here in a couple of weeks with our staffs before the summer starts. And then we've got really good group of coaches at the lower level, especially that come around and they're a part of what's going on. And so we're able to meet with those guys, set practice schedules together, kind of talk through those things and work through the early stages of the summer kinks, if you will, to make sure everybody's on the same page. As you know, you get coaches that kind of come in and out, new coaches that come in and maybe not quite sure how things work. And so that's really how we kind of try to handle the younger grades. Again, you know, between those two groups, we'll have 180 kids, we think, this year. It's a huge amount of kids that are excited to be a part of what's going on. And I just want that experience to be good for them and enjoyable for them so they continue to learn and grow. And I think that really starts with how they interact with the staff that they have on their team. And so I really tried to do a good job of trying to connect with those staffs, especially with the head coaches, so that they can communicate information to them. At the varsity level, our older guys, we just really, we meet quite a bit, you know, as a staff. Again, I'm fortunate I've got 8 assistants here in the building each day that I see. A lot of them are in the P department, some of them are in other departments, but I'm able to see them every day. They're helping out with weights after school, they're coaching track. But then our spring practice times, we're having staff meetings and getting to talk with them. And so, again, just trying to create ways to all be kind of on the same page and have the same message and head in the same direction so that all the kids are hearing the same thing. I really, really like having our coaches involved in other sports because I feel like we're able to continually connect with other kids. Again, same kind of thing. It's tough to get meeting times when we do that because everybody's kind of got different schedules then. But again, I think it's the reason why our kids enjoy being a part of our football programs because they're always connected with a coach.
As coaches, we know that some of the biggest hurdles to our team's success can come from off the field. Your team needs support to tackle the endless list of expenses, uniforms, training equipment, travel, and more. But raising that money can feel like a full-time job. Thankfully, there's Vertical Raise. Vertical Raise is the premier online fundraising platform using innovative technology to create the easiest and most efficient system available. Raise more money in less time with a local fundraising coach who works with your team every step of the way to customize the ideal fundraiser. With options for online donations, digital discount cards, premium product sales, and even spirit shops, Vertical Raise has top-of-the-line solutions for every fundraising style. To find out more, visit verticalraise.com and we'll get you connected with an exclusive offer on your first fundraiser. I've always been interested in the use of technology to make our jobs more effective, so I'm excited to continue sharing modern football technology with you here on the podcast. This innovative system leverages tendencies to improve self-scouting, game planning, and in-game decision-making at the speed of the game. Modern football stands out because it's a battle-tested platform used by teams at all levels, like 4-time national champion Bishop Gorman, the 5-time California State champion Folsom Bulldogs, 6-time Texas State champion Lake Travis, Cal football, and the CFL's Grey Cup champions, the Montreal Alouettes. So book a demo today to see why these teams trust modern football technology. Visit www.teammofo.com/demo and mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code CC10 to receive 10% off your first year. Transitioning here to what's going on the field.
Yeah.
Thing with Liberty North, you guys are extremely good at defense, one of the tops in the state. For you, you mentioned, you know, you made a transition some time back from a 3-5-3 to a 3-high safety defense, and that's given you a lot of benefits in, you know, stopping today's modern offenses. So we'd love to hear, one, what spurred that change? 3-5-3 is certainly a popular defense right now. We saw some programs in these last few years have a lot of success with it. But at the same time, you know, that 3-high safety defense causes a lot of issues.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, just to kind of give you an overview, back in 2019, I believe, we had had a 4-6 season. It was our second year here at North. Had won some games, obviously the four we're talking about, had won some games, but had lost some really, really close games. And we just kind of felt like we were getting spread out as a defense and teams were trying to break our stack and really down to do some things to us that we just didn't have an advantage defensively anymore. Again, as you talked about just a few seconds ago, teams going to empty and the motions and all the things you have to deal with now as a defense, we just felt like we needed to do something to create a better advantage for our defense. And so we happened to have a guy named Nathan Shielhouse, who was at Iowa State. He was the offensive coordinator. I think now he might be with the 49ers or the Chargers or something like that. And so the Kansas City guy went to Rockhurst High School. So he was a recruiter down here in Missouri and Kansas City. And so got to know him real well. He started inviting us up to practice and he said, hey, why don't you guys come up and check out our defense? It's similar to what you do. We're just doing this, this new thing where we call it three high safeties. So it kind of sparked our interest and we went up and we ended up spending several weekends that spring up at Iowa State and they opened their doors to us. Coach Hedgecock was incredible to us and all the coaches that were there. You know, we got to sit and visit with them and we kind of did that over the next few years. And our defense got better than each year as we moved forward with this defense. And so it definitely was not what it is now. Early on, we were very, very green with it. And now we feel like we're pretty multiple and we do a pretty good job. And obviously we've had some good kids along the way, but we just really feel like our defense provides an advantage in trying to create a light box to be able to stop the run and also be able to manage putting players in conflict with RPOs and those kind of things. But then also on the back end, being able to try to disguise coverages. And so, you know, we're going into year six of our defense, of running this defense with the three high. And, you know, we've had some teams that have created some challenges for us that have really started to scheme us up over the last couple of years. And so we're going to have to do a good job of continuing to grow and morph our defense a little bit to where we're able to continue to keep up with these offenses that continue to create new ways to score points and cause problems. And so, yeah, we just really, really like the idea of how we can play our B gaps in our run game and play our coverage stuff on the back end to kind of mix it up.
Yeah, obviously, one of the things you look at it and, you know, you do see a light box, right? So it definitely entices a team to run the football.
Absolutely.
So you know that's going to happen. What are the main things for you that help with that, that help you stop the run in a light box?
We are very, very fortunate. We've got a very good defensive line coach. Adam Bowling's our defensive line coach. He's been at Liberty North since the school opened before we got here. But he does an incredible job with our kids of understanding how to play leverage and how to play their gap. And we do some different things. Obviously, we're going to slant into gaps. We're going to sit in some four eyes with the tight front. We're going to do some different things that allow us to try to get the ball to bounce a little bit. But they also do a great job of spilling and pass rushing and doing all the things that we need to. And so I think it really starts with up front with our defensive line. We've had some good nose guards, some that weigh 175 pounds and some that weigh 300 pounds. But we've had very good success with utilizing different body types from year to year to be able to be successful in that front. You know, and then having a good understanding of the linebackers and how they play from outside in and what they have to do there. But I think that's really been the key is up front with our front three and then our Mike linebacker. It looks as if there's four guys in the box, like most people know that have kind of played against it or studied it. And it really ends up not being that way. I mean, there's really six to eight guys that are committed to playing that run based off what the formation is. And so guys understand it fits as we've kind of grown with this defense and the kids really continuing from year to year to repetitively get the same reps and understand the same concepts of what we want to do defensively has really, really helped us. But I would really say, like any other defense, it's going to start up front, and that's what it's done for us the last several years.
On the back end, one of the elements of a three-safety defense is that disguise, being able to take away some of the keys to what coverage you're going to end up in. I know this was true even at the college level. A lot of times, you know, a safety can show too high, but they might have to cheat a little bit because of their limitations. And I think this is especially true in high school, their limitations in being able to spin to the middle of field or get over top of somebody on the outside. I mean, they cheat things and they give away by alignment, even though they're trying to present something, they start to give away what right. The coverage is. So what have you seen in terms of the benefits of this compared to, let's say, just a too high defense?
Yeah, the high school kids, they get so anxious because they're trying to do the right thing all the time that they want to get where they're supposed to go before they need to sometimes. And so that's always definitely a challenge. But, you know, I think the ability to stem the coverage and show you know, whether it's a three high look or sometimes even a five high, if you want to put your corners in there and have them all stand at the same level, it all kind of looks the same. And I think that's what we've done over the last couple of years, is in a variety of ways, whether maybe we were playing man free and pressing up, maybe we were playing cover two, maybe we were playing some variation of cover three. We've always tried to give some kind of a look that is a pre-snap look and then allows us to get something different when the ball snap post-snap. And so I think the important piece of it is the kids really understanding coverage-wise what we want to do. And then I think you have to be repetitive in how you learn and teach the STEM piece of what you want to do. I mean, you need to have some type of an indicator for your kids each week so they know when to move, or they're just going to, they're going to get anxious, like you were saying, Coach, and start moving early, and it doesn't really do you any good anymore. And so, you know, having those three kids on the back end that are obviously smart football players, I think, you know, your middle field safety, depending on how you want to play it, needs to be a really, really good football player that's not afraid to tackle and can play a little bit in coverage. But I think there's just so much variation to it in what you can do that you almost have to be careful you don't do too much, just because there's so many different things you can do with it. But starting to stem that coverage and show that look. And sometimes you're playing the offensive coordinator because he's waiting to see what you're going to do. And so just teaching those kids to be patient and understanding what they need to do and where they need to go, I think that's probably the most important piece for us over the last couple of years. We feel like we've gotten better and better at it. And when you throw in the motions and the shifts and all the things that go on with it, there's a lot of pieces of the puzzle that's really tough defensively to do. And so I think you have to make sure that from, like right now with our spring practices, we're really trying to teach fundamentals of certain coverages so our kids understand exactly what to do, so that when we start moving them around, they understand landmarks and receivers and everything that goes on to where they need to be to make sure the coverage works well.
You know, I think when you transition to something new, and you brought up this idea here, you can do a lot of stuff. That's always enticing to a coach to think about all the things you can do and go crazy drawing up on a whiteboard. But I think how much you do really isn't as dependent on the kids as much as it is your ability to understand the adjustments and to teach it. And I think that grows over time. Your understanding with it and your comfort level with adding things grows over time. So I think your recommendation of you got to start slow with it is very important here. How much can you do? What's your recommendation for somebody making a transition like this in year one? I know you clinic about this. I'm sure you get this question all the time.
Yeah. So, you know, year one, we were pretty simple. We were a cover two team. We played a little bit of cover three, not much. We were really, really a big time cover three team and a little bit of quarters, a cover two team and a little bit of quarters. We've grown that into some variations of three. We played a lot of man out of it as well, like man free. And so I would say just, I really feel like it's a comfort level with your kids. I mean, obviously, just like you said, I mean, you as the coordinator have to know the adjustments and things that you have to do to be able to run the defense that you want or the coverage that you want and how you need to make adjustments throughout the game. So, A, you better understand it. But B, we try not to overload our kids. We try to figure out what they're good at. You know, if we've got man corners or safeties that are better in man than they are zone, we try to work that way. If we feel like they're better zone kids, we try to work more that way. And then we start to build on what we do and try to give different variations out of the structure and the foundation of what we've kind of put in that year. Year one, like I said, we ran a couple coverages and there were times we didn't look very good at it. And as we've grown and gotten better, we've created some small adjustments within those coverages, just like you would tag a receiver in a route concept. I mean, same kind of thing. And so it's really benefited us. And, you know, I would just suggest that if you're trying to put that in, don't get carried away. You know, the first year we did it, we sat down, we started talking about all these ideas and I had to kind of look at our staff and be like, well, okay, hold on. Let's slow down a little bit. And let's just kind of figure out what do we want to do and what can our kids do? And then I think it just blossoms from there. Once your kids have a decent understanding of the foundation of what you're trying to ask them to do, then you pull it out and you strategize and you come up with schemes for each week that maybe you need to make some adjustments off of, but you don't vary too far away from it. You know, I tell our guys all the time, it's not what we do, it's how we do it. And so I think that's very, very important defensively and offensively for that matter, but that's just kind of the philosophy we go.
Your road to being where you're at, your journey certainly hasn't been a quick one. You mentioned to me, you know, 18 years as an assistant, really looking for that opportunity to break in and be a head coach. And then obviously to be able to run a program like you're running right now. As you look back at it, maybe for our younger coaches out there, what advice do you have for them to, you know, a lot of guys are really itching to get those titles, whether that's coordinator or head coach. You know this, there's a ton to learn along the way. So what advice do you have?
I think one of the biggest pieces of advice I can give to younger coaches, just be patient. You know, so often, you know, you watch ESPN and you see these younger coordinators in the NFL and college football and all that kind of stuff. And I don't think that's the norm. I mean, there's some very, very good ones, obviously, but the norm isn't that way. I mean, there's definitely a stepping stone or a ladder that you have to climb. And I don't mean that like there aren't guys that can't go do those things quicker than others, but there's a lot to it. And I think patience is a big thing. You know, kind of like you said, you know, I was an assistant for 18 years and I really take a lot of pride in that. I feel like I was pretty good as an assistant. I think it's kind of gotten me to this point. And there were definitely days that I was frustrated or thought that I was ready to go do whatever it is I thought at the time, whether it be a coordinator or a head coach. And looking at it now, you know, 18, 19 years later, that was not the case. And so, you know, this is my third year as the head coach. And, you know, I'm just excited about the opportunities that we've created here at North. But I look back and realize there was a lot of hard work that went into that. And there were a lot of people that taught me things along the way. And I'm glad that a couple people along the way told me just to pay attention and just to listen to the other coaches around me and not think that I knew it all, but just to try to gather the things that I saw done correctly or incorrectly and utilize those with my own philosophy and the things that I wanted to do and not try to be those people, but just try to integrate those thoughts and ideas that they had. But yeah, if it wasn't for me being a little bit more patient, and I can't tell you, coach, that I was always patient by any means. I'm sure I was a lot like some of these guys that want to come in and their hair's on fire and they're ready to go to work and do all the things. But there's just so much that's involved with being a head coach or a coordinator, not only just having that pressure of the decisions you have to make and letting the weight of the success or the failure be on you, but just the game planning and the understanding of how to run all things within a defense or an offense, or being able to understand schemes and different things that go on. And so calling plays is fun, but the preparation and the piece of getting it there, there's a lot of work to that. And I think younger guys can really take a lot from just having some self-awareness around them and the guys that they're working with and trying to really garner as much information and knowledge as they can from those guys.
So, Coach, it's about 100 years, I think you told me, in this program has been around a long time. First state championship here. How do you defend it? How do you go back and get another one here?
You know, it just really kind of comes down to hard work. You know, I feel like we hang our hat on that a lot. You know, we the weight room is the key for us. We feel like we really work really hard in that weight room and do a good job with that. But our culture, Coach, has really created a fun environment for our kids to be around. And it's just kind of gone from year to year. You know, the next group of seniors just steps up and understands what has to happen. We've made it to the state semifinals the last 4 years in a row. One of those years we were in the state championship and lost. This past year we actually won it. So that was a fun experience. But man, we just can't get complacent. We gotta pull our bootstraps up and go back to work. And that's kind of what we've done. We had the opportunity to get the rings passed out to the guys a couple days ago, finally. And that was a fun opportunity to get that group back together. But I told them while the seniors were up on stage that the seniors get to go home and look at the rings. Everybody else got to put them back in the box and tuck them away because we got work to do and get ready to go. And so, you know, Kansas City football, we got some really good football here in Kansas City and some great coaches and all that stuff. So we're going to be challenged each and every week. And it's just a matter of us just going to work and doing what we've always done to continue the success we've had.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you taking the time and joining us here on the podcast, getting us a peek into your program and what's brought you guys to the top here this past season. And certainly good luck to you and the Eagles in defending your championship here in 2024.
Thanks, Coach. I appreciate you having me on and to visit with you. It's been an honor to be here for a little bit.
Here are our Winning Edge takeaways and ideas for implementation. 1. Build strong relationships with players. Coach Learman emphasized the importance of connecting with every player in the program on a daily basis. You can implement this by ensuring that all staff members actively engage with players, showing care and interest in their well-being both on and off the field. Implementing a system where players are divided into smaller groups with designated leaders and coaches for personalized attention and support can also foster strong relationships. 2. Gradual implementation of defensive strategies. When transitioning to a new defensive scheme such as the three safety defense, starting with a solid foundation and gradually building upon it is crucial. You should focus on teaching fundamentals and ensuring players clearly understand the base coverages before introducing more complex variations. This approach allows players to master the basics and for you to make adjustments as everyone becomes more familiar with the system. And three, embrace the importance of patience and continuous learning. Coach Learman's journey to becoming a successful head coach highlights the significance of patience and continuous learning, especially those of you early in your career. You should embrace the learning process, seek mentorship from experienced colleagues, and be patient in your development. By remaining open to new ideas, gathering knowledge from others, and steadily progressing in your coaching abilities, you can position yourself for long-term success in the profession. Follow all we're doing at coachandcoordinator.com. Go there to sign up for our weekly tip sheet, which highlights the best ideas of each week. And follow us on X at Coach K. Grabowski.